The global economy is recovering. We're moving from 3.2 last year to 3.6 this year, 3.7 next year, catching up with pre-financial crisis average growth. This region, Asia, is going to continue to be the big global growth engine that it has been. And, you know, compared with this average of 3.6, Asia will be generating at least 5.5%. So that tells you a lot about the role played by the region in global economic development.
North Korea, in the first instance, need to stop its provocations, period. One way of reading it is that the message of the international community, the global condemnation and the absolute unacceptability of their nuclear program is finally getting through. The sanctions are working. And that may be causing them to recalculate.
Saudi Arabia just recalled all of its citizens from Lebanon
right.
to Saudi Arabia.
Right.
You don't do that on a whim. You do that when you know things are going to go terribly, terribly wrong in the near future. When their own prime minister or former prime minister has vanished from the country and is possibly being held by another country in what would be a direct act of war, when their main backer state is being accused of firing missiles at the Saudi Arabian airport, they understand that they are going to be next.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday. It's November 13th, 2017, 5:12 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business week getting underway, another business day as well. We've got a good show for you today. In our CEO spotlight, Mark Agnew is here from Illuminati's Pizzeria. We will be talking about how you keep a family business fresh after 50 years and get some of his insights. You know, he also is a professor at Booth School of Business, so we're going to tap into his mindset this morning and get some business advice from Mark Agnew momentarily. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are off 29 points. We're looking for a lower open on Wall Street. NASDAQ and S&P futures are flat this morning. In Asia, markets are generally mixed, with the Nikkei off more than 300 points, almost 1.5%. Hang Seng is up about 61 points for about 0.25%, and the Shanghai is up about 0.5%. Markets in Europe rattled by Brexit news this morning. The FTSE, the only of the markets higher this morning, up about 10 points. The DAX and the CAC are off about 0.25% each. Gold is trading higher by about $4.70. Oil at $56.80 a barrel, which is up just about 4 cents. News this morning that we're watching for you with the Brexit. Prime Minister Theresa May says she'll meet with European business leaders to discuss trade links between Britain and the European Union after the country leaves the bloc. May's office says the Prime Minister will outline plans for a bold and deep economic partnership today when she meets with representatives in Germany. A couple of other stories we're watching. A big order for Boeing, Chicago-based Boeing, at the Dubai Air Show. Boeing has sold, apparently, 40 new 787 Dreamliner aircraft at a list price of $15.1 billion to Emirates Airlines. Boeing stock is higher this morning, by the way. Our CEO spotlight this Monday morning, Mark Agnew, is here from Lou Malnati's Pizza. We're going to be talking about how you keep a family business fresh after 50 years and think of the future as well. Mark, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me.
It's exciting to have you here. But we should tell our listeners, because this is obviously radio, but they can't see that you've brought a big box of pizzas in this morning as well. So we're going to have to go through the whole interview smelling the wonderful Malnati's pizza.
And well, if we want to dive in while we're talking, that's I'm happy to eat our product at any time.
Breakfast, pizza for breakfast.
That's right.
Pizza anytime.
Anytime.
Day, right?
Anytime.
Let's talk a little bit about your rise to CEO at Malnati's. How did it happen, and how long have you been sort of in the wings waiting?
Yeah, well, it's kind of full circle. I started at Malnati's as a 15-year-old. It's my first job, and I got to meet the Malnati family as a phone worker back in the early 90s. And I rejoined the company about 7 years ago and started out as our CFO and kind of worked my way up a couple years, became president, and about a year ago, as Mark Malnati's kind of transitioning a little bit out of the day-to-day, I became CEO, but he's still very involved, and we work really closely together.
It's a wonderful backstory. I mean, you really sort of became part of the Malnati family, didn't you?
Yeah.
You consider yourself one of the sons.
Well, they certainly treat me like a son. And I think the Malnati family, our whole goal as a company is to treat everyone like a big part of a family. So family's core to who we are. It was really Mark and Rick Malnati's dream to have a big family. And they certainly treat me like a son. And we hope to treat everyone like part of the big Malnati family.
How does that translate from behind the boardroom door to the front of the pizzeria, that family spirit?
Yeah, I think it just starts with relationships. We try to really invest in one another and get to know each other and appreciate each other. And we think as we continue to grow, we'll still keep that family feel even as we've gotten bigger. We track it. We metric it up. We look at how our employees are thinking about us. And I'm happy to say that as we grow, as we've grown over the last 5 years, our culture continues to still stay very close-knit in the family.
How challenging is it to keep a pizza business growing?
It starts with a great product, and we're blessed to have a great product. And then with that, which we don't really mess with, it's our people. Mm-hmm. And we just try to recruit and retain fantastic people. And that's really a big part of what I do is an interview, recruit, and try to bring the best people in to let them maximize their own path at Malnati's.
Let's talk a little bit about the numbers that you're able to share. Number of stores, how's your business going?
Yeah, sure.
What's the bottom line look like?
Yeah, bottom line, I don't think I'll share. But we're about 50. We're 50 right now locations. We have 48 in Chicago. Two in Arizona. It's funny to say 50. We really try to be the neighborhood pizzeria. We don't really like to talk about being 50. We want to make sure each pizza's as good as it possibly can be the next pizza we make. We have about 3,700 employees, which is another big stat for us. And our business is going well. We're growing our business. I think that there is one trend that's evolving over the last couple years is with the proliferation of delivery services, our delivery business is growing rapidly and at the expense of some of our carryout business. I think there's a lot of demand for people to get our pizza and our products, our salads, our pastas delivered versus just coming into one of our stores and carrying it out.
Mark King on with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Mark Agnew this morning. The CEO of Lou Malnati's with us for the hour. We'll continue our pre-dawn business conversation with Mark.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, U.S. stocks finished lower on Friday, pulled down in part by word that Amazon might soon undercut traditional medical device companies with lower prices and faster delivery. The Dow Jones closed Friday 40 points lower at 23,422. The S&P 500 was off 2 1/3 points. The Nasdaq squeaked out a fractional gain to 67.50. Shares of Mattel soared in after-hours trading after a report that rival Hasbro has made a takeover bid. Both companies have had trouble selling their toys to kids who would rather play with a tablet than with Barbie and Ken. Executives at Equifax can forget their bonuses this year, and the interim CEO has again apologized for the data breach that exposed the personal information of nearly half the people in the country. And as big retailers get ready for Black Friday, the mom and pops are looking forward to the following day, Small Business Saturday. That annual event was begun in 2010 to provide a boost to independent companies and storefronts that serve neighborhoods. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 524. It's our CEO spotlight this morning. Mark Agnew is here. He's the CEO of Lou Malnati's. Mark, before the break, we were talking about how things might move forward in the future at Lou Malnati's. I know some of your competitors are using drones and thinking about drones to delivery and other technology. What's the future look like over at Lou Malnati's?
Yeah, I have a tough time predicting where technology will take us. But from our strategy is to have it all of our employees be part of the Malnati family. We don't outsource delivery drivers or anything like that. We want people to really be invested in and grow within our business. Many of our managers started out as delivery drivers. So I think technology, we kind of want to be a fast follower. We're not going to be an innovator on the technology front. But if there's a trend, we want to make sure that we're aware of it, and we'll make sure that we follow it if it's the right move for us.
So is most of the business, you sort of alluded to this in the earlier answer, but is it mostly delivery or is it eat-in?
It's really about a third, a third, a third. Okay. About a third of our business is dine-in, a third is carry-out, and a third is delivery. I mean, it changes a little bit here and there, but that's basically our business.
And the food really hasn't changed over the years. That's one of the keys, right? Always keep it tasting great.
Yeah, we focus on that, and we do a lot of training on that. And it starts with our ingredients. We use the same wheat in Minnesota. We go out to that mill all the time to work with people to make sure our flour is exactly to spec. We go to the same dairy farmers in Wisconsin and get the same mozzarella cheese from our mozzarella provider. And then a real fun trip is every year we go out to California and we wait till the apex of flavor for our tomatoes. We say can right now.
Really?
And that takes about 12 hours from when we cut the tomatoes off the vine to can them. Because we put nothing in our tomato sauce other than just the freshest tomatoes you can get. So it starts with ingredients, and then it starts with and ends with fantastic people that really take a lot of pride in it. It's made from scratch every day in every location. And well, that's never going to change.
I thought for a second you were going to say you also go to Wisconsin and watch the cows and go, okay, cheese now.
No, but we're in our mozzarella plant a lot. We want to make sure that it's to spec and it tastes great and it has the right buttermilk fat content. And all of our ingredients were really the kind of product of Lou Malnati, really trying to make the highest quality deep dish pizza there is.
When you hear people talking about deep dish pizza, whether it's here or in New York or wherever, do you know they're talking about Lou Malnati?
Yeah, I think sometimes people say deep dish and Lou Malnati as the same thing. That's great. We love that. But we really want people to try our deep dish. Lou created Deep Dish with his dad down at Pizzeria Uno in the 50s, and we started our company in 1971, and it is it's the same recipe.
The structure of how the company operates is a little bit different from when it just used to be the Malnati family.
Mm-hmm.
There's an investment firm that's involved in that. How has the day-to-day changed with that?
It hasn't. Okay. Our investment partner is a long-term investment partner, and they trust us. They trust Mark Malnati and me to and our team to help continue to grow the business. They're aware of how we're doing and our growth plans, and they're very supportive. They're curious about our business, and then they want to help support us. So as we're entering a new market, they can say, "Hey, have you talked to these companies? They've done it before." And so they've been great to work with.
What does that growth look like? Is it opening another store? Is it earnings? How do you measure growth?
Yeah, I mean, we look at it a lot of ways, but one, I love promotions. I love when we see people moving up in our company. We track that, and as we get that, that's a key indicator for growth. Another way is just location growth. I think you're going to see us open about 4 locations every year going forward. We're kind of geared to do that type of growth. That is a lot of effort there. We have a really strong new store opening team and a training team, and so that creates a lot of new jobs, which we really like, and then it creates opportunities for our team to grow in the company.
Let's talk a little bit about your background. You have an MBA from University of Chicago. Do most CEOs of pizza places have MBA?
I don't know. I think the Domino's CEO also has a MBA from University of Chicago, but they're a little bit bigger than us. I was very blessed to go to University of Chicago. I teach there now. And just love that university. It instilled in me kind of an analytic approach to fact-based decision making, and then I've married some of that training with Mark Malnati's approach to just being real relational and all about our people. And that seems to be working. Our team is really close, and so it's been. I've had a lot of mentors in my life teach me different things, and University of Chicago is a big part of kind of who I am now.
And I bring it up to talk about that, again, back to the family business aspect of this. There are things that you can't learn in a business school, right, that you learn from somebody like the Malnati family.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's hard. You never know exactly what's going to come the next day in a business. But if it starts with trust and it starts with really recognizing each individual that's involved in any sort of business decision, and with some experience, you can make good decisions. And so we try to use facts, and sometimes you can't use facts to make decisions in business. And to have someone like Mark Malnati invest in me and trust me, but also pick up the phone whenever I need to call him and say, "Hey, have you dealt with something like this before?" Usually it's yes. And if it's not, he'll say, "I trust you. Here's what I think."
Hmm. The course you teach is entrepreneurship, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So Brian O'Connor and I co-teach a class called Entrepreneurship Through Acquisition. Mm-hmm. The curriculum there is about how to buy and run a company as a younger CEO. And so it kind of was born out of the Stanford Business School in the early 80s. And now there's a lot of momentum around it. We have a popular class down there. And the goal is to help train potential CEOs how to buy and lead a business. Really fun.
Mm-hmm. What do you teach your kids about that? Because, I mean, we have a lot of entrepreneurs and startup folks yeah. come in here all the time on our show, and they always have a different story, every
yeah.
one of them.
Yeah.
It can't be a cookie cutter, can it?
No. These are businesses that are typically past startup, that are cash flow positive, that we kind of talk about in our class. But I think we talk a lot about having mentors to help you as a younger person to get through some of the challenges of being a leader. And then we just talk about different techniques that both Brian and I, and we bring in a guest speaker every class, what they've experienced in their career having bought and or run a business.
How often do you bring pizza into the kids?
I'm not above bribing the class. So we bring in pizza two or three times because we really want to create a community. And again, I think this is the lesson from Mark Malnati in my life is what we're trying to create down in Hyde Park is a bunch of people that are interested in each other's success and each other's best practices in a continual learning community. And what's fun for me is I get to bring a lot of the learnings back from our class back to Lou Malnati's. So it goes both ways. It's a lot of fun.
Mark, hang on. We're going to take another break here and continue our conversation with Mark Agnew, CEO of Lou Malnati's, in with us in our CEO Spotlight today.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. The Department of Justice has handed down subpoenas as part of the ongoing fraud investigation into Chicago startup Outcome Health. Outcome's investors said in a court filing they were receiving subpoenas and additional inquiries were expected from the SEC. It's the latest development in the ongoing controversy around Outcome, which is under scrutiny for misrepresenting the effectiveness of its ads. Designer Share, a Chicago-based online platform that lets women rent handbags, clothing, and shoes, is gearing up for a national expansion. The startup lets people rent a piece from the platform for as little as a week and plans to launch a national shipping program next year. And new technology is allowing Chicago developers to build something the city hasn't seen in over 100 years, a wood office building. Real estate developer Hines is building a 270,000-square-foot building on Goose Island that will be fire-resistant and more environmentally friendly than steel and concrete. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Monday edition of The Opening Bell. It's our CEO Spotlight this morning. Mark Agnew is here. He's the CEO of Lou Malnati's, and we've been talking about entrepreneurship, keeping business fresh after 50 years as they're doing at Lou Malnati's. But Mark, I want to talk to you a little bit about what you think of the business climate in Chicago and Illinois. It takes a lot of hits, especially on the state level. How do you think things are going?
Yeah, I think there's pluses and minuses. I'm a Chicagoan by heart, and I'm an optimist by heart. And we have a phenomenal city with great people and some unique attributes that no other city in the world has. So I'm very bullish on Chicago. I'm very bullish on the state. And we have some challenges that we'll address together as citizens. I think we Chicagoans love our city, and we'll figure out we'll meet the challenges head on.
We also love our pizza too.
That's right.
That probably is one of the reasons why the longevity is such at your place.
Yeah, there is a. It's really funny as you go into our stores in Wilmette or in River North or in Lake Zurich. We'll see the same customers come on Fridays or Saturdays or Sundays, and that's really what we're all about is creating a memory for a family to come in and a great experience. So we have a lot of loyalty in our company, both from our internal employees, but also from our guests. And that's a huge blessing for me to have.
I heard once that there's something about the water in Chicago that makes for a wonderful pizza crust. Is that true?
That is true, but I can't tell you the exact reasons why, because that's this company secret. But what we will tell you is down in Arizona, We had to really figure out how to replicate Chicago water down in Arizona to make our dough taste the way it tastes here in Chicago.
You can't.
I can't divulge the secrets to you. I can't. I'm sorry.
Did you truck water in to Arizona? Is that out of
we did a lot of testing, and it took a lot of time to get it right, and we got it right. So if you're down there, check us out. You'll be pretty impressed with the pizza down there.
Yeah, if you've ever done travel, I'm sure people do travel and they order pizza all over the place. There's just something about pizza here that you just can't. I can't put my finger on.
That's right. I agree.
So different. Let's talk about how you see things in the future. You alluded to it a little bit earlier, but 5-10 years down the road.
Yeah.
I know I was kind of joking earlier about the drones and the autonomous vehicles, but how do you foresee things in the future?
Yeah, well, we'll be bigger. We'll have more stores than we have now. We'll have probably be in a third state in the next 5 to 10 years, which creates complexities from a supply chain perspective and a human capital perspective and all that stuff. Really, my vision, and I think our vision as a team, is to do a lot of what we do right now. We'll just focus on the next pizza, make sure that's the top quality ingredients, and really focus on our relational model. So what I think you'll see as we've grown, we're going to have to continue to innovate how we recognize one another, how we promote and train our people in our company. And if we take a people-centric strategy, which is what we're embarking upon, I think everything will be great.
As a CEO, is there something that you do? Every time we have a CEO in, we ask, do you have a routine? Is there something that makes you successful? Is there something that helps you make your employees successful or help them be successful?
I'm constantly tinkering my routine, but there's one real kind of person in my life that kind of solidifies me and believes in me and helps me, and that's my wife, Carolyn. We get along great. She's behind the scenes supporting me. To have someone that believes in me and encourages me, but also gives me some feedback that only a wife can give, or a spouse, I should say, is really great. So I think that is to have someone that in that relationship with four little kids, that's a constant in my life, and I really appreciate that. I'm trying to create routines around meditation and working out, and then I think the thing that we do that's a little different at Malnati's is been inherited from what Mark Malnati created is a real routine on relationships. So we meet every 2 weeks Thursday morning, my leadership team, and talk about just our relationships, the eight of us, for an hour and a half, and to have that time to really communicate with each other. And a very disciplined approach to those meetings has been really beneficial for me and my leadership.
Because in some boardrooms that doesn't happen, and oftentimes it leads to infighting.
Yeah. Mark created this business around trust and relationships. And so we build each other up and share honestly. And with that trust, we then can disagree and really have a lot of pointed conversations. And we call that internally a little bit violent agreement, getting to violent agreement. But we want people to show up, say their opinion, fight for what they believe in, and then once we get to agreement, we move on together. And that's I really believe in that, and it's been really great for me to kind of be mentored in that leadership style. And then now I'm a huge advocate, and we actually teach it in our class down in Hyde Park.
And now the $1 million question: what's your favorite pizza?
You know, rotates. I eat it about 6 or 7 meals a week, but I love our spinach. It's fantastic what we do with our spinach pizza. But a good old Chicago classic buttercrust sausage doesn't get much better than that.
Mark, it's wonderful meeting you. All the best to everybody at Malnati.
I love being here, Steve. Congrats on your success. Thanks for having me.
Mark Agnew is the CEO of Lou Malnati's Pizza and also an adjunct assistant professor of entrepreneurship at University of Chicago Booth School of Business.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures pointing toward opening losses when the bell rings later this morning. Down 43 points now. NASDAQ futures off about 7. And S&P futures are lower by about 3.5. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Coming to you this morning from Louisville, Kentucky, where last night I attended and participated in a historic event, one that started 114 years ago, back in 1903, at the Union Stockyards in Chicago. It's the Saddle and Sirloin Portrait Gallery. made up of people who have done outstanding work in the livestock industry over all these years. And last night, I participated in the program that honored Tom Burke, who is Secretary of the American Angus Association. Fourth generation Angus breeder, Tom's great-grandfather used registered Angus bulls in the late 1800s. His grandfather, father, and uncle were all registered Angus breeders, and today Tom is an owner of the original Burke Angus farm located in southeastern Minnesota. That farm was homesteaded 132 years ago by the Burke family, and it's recognized as one of Minnesota's century farms, a historic event that's been going on well over a century. And we salute Tom Burke of the American Angus Association, the latest to have his portrait hung in the Saddle and Sirloin Club, now located in Louisville, Kentucky. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Monday, November 13th, not much on tap for the early part of the week. The Treasury Department releases October's federal budget today. Labor Department releases the Producer Price Index for October tomorrow. GE hosts a key shareholders meeting today. Earnings continue in earnest this week. Tomorrow, Home Depot. Later in the week, Target. We'll also see U.S. retail sales for October. Thursday, Best Buy, Walmart, Gap, Viacom. And on Friday, Abercrombie and Fitch earnings. So a busy week of earnings. Some of the things that could move the markets.